Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. I'm very honored to have Linda Taylor on the show. She's an amazing guitar player, but she's more than that. She's a multi-instrumentalist. She's a producer, mixer. She does all of it, and I think that's important because in this day and age with the way the industry is now, you need to be versatile. You need to be able to wear many hats. So before I introduce her, I want to play a clip that pretty much just says it all. So here is a clip. This is from her solo album. It's called Pulse, and this is called Baby Blue. Welcome to the show, Linda.
Thanks.
It's really an honor to have you here.
Oh, thank you. Well, I haven't heard that in a million years. I think I played better then. Wow.
But it's neat. The reason I played that clip is the tone that you get, is even as you're playing. I think you're still using the same guitar, but you're getting all these different tones out of it. You get this real hollow sound, and then you get this like really kind of bluesy, deeper sound. So you're doing a lot of interesting things. And I just want to mention, as we play the different clips, listen to the guitar parts. One of the things that really stood out for me going through the music that you had sent me is the different tones and colors that you evoke from the instruments as you're playing. Real quick, give us a little background of where you came from, what you studied, or where did you start guitar?
Well, I started with ukulele, I think, when I was about three. Okay. And I started playing guitar earnestly when I was four. And my parents are not musical, so they just hooked me up with a teacher. It wasn't like, you know, most guitar students start by transcribing and listening to the radio. They immediately got me with a teacher, and she didn't even play guitar, but she read music. So mm-hmm. I learned out of the Mel Bay books.
I remember those.
I remember those?
I'm a graduate of the Mel Bay books.
I love them. And there's always like the very dignified guy in the suit, and he's got the nylon string guitar, and he's holding up under his neck, right? And it's like three pages on how to hold the plectrum, right?
Mm-hmm. And those very thin guitar straps.
And the thin guitar straps, but it didn't matter because it was nylon string, which is exactly not what you're hearing on the radio, and you don't quite understand why your guitar doesn't sound like that guitar.
And there's nothing in there about bending. Mel Bay never taught us how to bend.
Oh, wait, I'm supposed to count while I do it. One and two. One, yeah. No, I remember it well.
That brings back memories. So that's cool. But that's interesting. So you did study, and it shows in the playing because your counterpoint in the different parts that we'll listen to in a second, you can hear that. I mean, I love the way you juxtapose the guitars against each other.
Well,
that's a really
you.
Interesting sound.
Thank you.
Now, I do have a question for you. I mentioned in the when I posted this morning that you're part of the house band for Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Right.
And you and Laura Hall are
the
it's a two person band, which I thought
small house.
I remember we were talking earlier. I remember saying when I saw the show, it's like there's just two people there. How do they do that? Because it's not something that you can pre-program. It's something that is you got to be spontaneous. You got to follow what the comedians are doing. And I just wanted to ask you, how did that? Your experience with that, how did you approach that to be able to do things that fast and still sound that full?
Well, you know, it's funny. I had a friend come on, and she referred to the show, Laura and my job on it, as the world's worst casual. Right? So think of yourself. You're at a casual, right? And you're mm-hmm. in the middle of your guitar solo, and some woman comes up and wants to know where the restroom is. And there's constant interruptions, and you've just got to be, you know, focused, but sort of on everything at the same time. So it's kind of that. And I guess with the actors, they're so good. If we can just give a reference and a frame, you know, if someone says Prince, and I just go, sounds like Prince. And I've already told you it's Prince, so we've sort of set you up for it, you know.
Right.
So there is a lot of homework Laura and I do ahead of time, and it's just getting sounds together, and we have a feel for what might be called. We both go through the top 200 and do everything we can to get sounds together as much as we can, and then when the show, you know, is running, it's just go.
I mean, I understand after doing it for a while,
there's
certain things you can catch and stuff, but it's still amazing how you get, you guys sound pretty full. I mean, it's not just like a little guitar line here or something. I mean, you guys are doing like cues. It's like a underscoring.
Thank you. And you know what? That's how we feel about it. And I have to say that Laura and I take a lot of pride in trying to give as much production value within the parameter of mm-hmm. that show. It's not like the cool band. It's not the late night. It's not Kimmel. You know, it's what it is. And it's just not what you can do, but what you can do now, how quickly, mm-hmm. how close can you get it. And so I'm myself running about three drum machines up there, and one of them mm-hmm. is what all the cool kids are using, so it makes all the noises and blips and bobs and sounds like a video game. I'm playing a bunch of guitars, banjo, whatever, you know.
So what guitars do you bring to the show?
I've got my Taylor 910 up there. I've got the carbon copy of this guitar, which is a custom Strat made by Nora Granson here on Moore Park.
Mm-hmm.
And that one has, I think, the old Seymour Duncan hot stacks in it, and the Jeff Beck and the bridge. It was what I was telling you earlier. It's not the guitar I would use mm-hmm. to track because it doesn't just scream Strat. It's just very versatile. And if I'm playing vaudeville 1 minute and, you know, heavy metal the next, I need something fast and versatile.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a TV show. It's not a recording studio. And there's crew guys walking around and moving stuff. And, you know, I admit the B team is on stage with me because if something gets crumpled under a lining rig, it has to not be the 67 Gibson.
Right. Well, that makes sense. They can take a beating.
Yes, guitars that can take a beating, and I've got several pedal boards, and one is sort of designed for that show, and what I know they'll call me for, and it's a little less modulation based, and it's more overdrive and distortion based.
Oh, okay. So you're using a different
pedal board. Yeah.
And then you're using this little Fender amp that you use.
Isn't that something? It's a Blues Junior. I've modified it a lot. So I've changed the speaker, the reverb tank. There's a site online called Bill M Mods, and I don't know how to, I think it's like McCone or something. If you just look up Bill M. Mods online for Fender Blues Jr., this is what he does. He just mods them.
And so what speaker do you have in there?
Warehouse, and I don't remember the model right now. Warehouse is a company back east somewhere, and they're doing like clones of vintage speakers.
Oh, okay.
So like a clone of a vintage Jensen C12, that kind of thing.
And that's a 12?
That's a 12.
That's a 12.
I know. It's
now, on the TV show, do they mic it?
They do, and I get in trouble every single night.
Really?
Turn down. Well, no. Okay.
They don't use like a... You would think they might use like a plexiglass gobo or something like that.
You would think they would, yes. But no. So, you know what? It got better this last season. Laura was playing an acoustic piano, so it was live mic, and the actors are only on lavs, which we get told a lot, usually right before they tell me to turn down. And she switched over. They just put a nice weighted keyboard inside the shell, so it's just a synth. But I think getting rid of those two live mics on the piano, that's been really helpful. So I didn't get told to turn down as much this time.
That's good.
I know. I was pleased.
But it sounds really rich.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm surprised. That's your mic, man. I told you.
that little audio technica is nice. Guitar sounds great.
Oh, thank you.
So this guitar has more of that Strat type feel. It's got a humbucker and two single coils. But tell us a little bit about the wire. You got a bunch of little toggles on there.
All of them are dead. This is from the original incarnation when Norg made this for me. So these used to be two Seymour Duncan hot stacks and the Jeff Beck. And we changed it, and I don't know what was in there for the second round, but I stopped playing the guitar. I was just so unhappy with the sound of it. It was just anemic. And so I just got this back. This is actually the first time out of the house for this. Mm. And he put in, and I'm going to get this wrong probably, these are Fralin, and it's the vintage models. And Norik, I've been working with Norik for a long time, so he won't tell me what he's put in because he doesn't want me to listen with my eyes and my gear sluts reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And the bridge is a Slash model. So who makes a Slash pickup? Would that be Seymour?
It's either Seymour or it's DeMarzio, one or the other.
Okay.
It's got to be that.
And he wouldn't tell me, so I had it for like a week, and I'm like, well, tell me.
So you're just using the toggle switches are inactive.
Toggles are
inactive. You're just using the five position switch, and then it's just the master volume.
Yeah, let's see if we can get you through this. So this is dead. This is dead. So that's neck. Next one down, and I'm being nice on volume here. So. Single coil and then tapped a humbucker. Oops, I'm giving you too much volume there, sorry. But I'm real happy with them.
You're getting that chimey type sound too.
Yeah, I wanted that. I was missing that for a while, so.
Now, what other guitars do you use?
I use my 335 a lot. I love
that.
That's
a beautiful guitar.
Oh, thank you. I love that.
And I've seen you with a Tele.
Yeah, I just got a thin line, a 72 thin line, couple years ago in Nashville. Of course I was on tour, and of course I had a day off, and of course I had my American Express card with me, and of course I walked into a music store. Just you couldn't even see it coming, you know. Who knew what could possibly go wrong? So 72 Thin Line, gorgeous original pickups, the little Fender, what do they call them, wide range or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah
so that's, oh, and I love
that's
that.
The Sunburst one.
Nope, that's
because there's a picture on your website of the Sunburst.
Sunburst. Oh, that's my, just that's my off-the-wall Otis. That's just a telly. Just got it, I think it, I may have got that at True Tone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, telly. I haven't done anything to it. And that's my good road dog. And they all have names. And that's Otis.
That's Otis.
Yeah.
Now, you primarily Fender amps, or do you use any other amps?
Oh, I just got my new Pride and Joy divided by 13 FTR 37. And are you familiar with his amps?
I've heard of them, but I've never known anybody.
Well, Frederick, the owner, he worked with Leo Fender for a very mm-hmm. long time. And so he's making his own line of amps. And they're not just like Fender clones or voice like, they're whatever you want them to be. But wow, this amp, I don't know why I resisted so long. I went over to my friend's Larry's at the Lair Recording, and he had his, and I brought a head over that I wasn't thrilled with, and we did a little A-B, and I left going, I got to call this guy. And so it's the FTR-37, and it's a 6L6 based amp, mm-hmm. and it's like a deluxe reverb on steroids, the best deluxe you've ever heard. It just blooms and fills, and it's equal and even throughout the range, and I love it. It records so well. But yeah, I'm kind of a Fender girl.
Now that's that one. That's your studio amp.
That's my studio amp. Yeah, this is my travel amp.
When you tour, you have to do something bigger, right?
Depends. If I'm going out with Maya as a duo, you're looking at it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that little guy. Because it's just her and I on stage. If we don't have to travel, then I'll use my deluxe. I've got a 72 deluxe. I rarely do a gig where I don't need a pristine, clean sound at some point. So mm-hmm. that rules out, like, Marshalls and everything. I need just that clean, shimmery sound at some point. So I'm always getting my grit and overdrive from pedals.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you do it from there. But, like, I saw a picture of – actually, I think it was a video of you with Christopher Cross when you toured with him.
Okay.
What were you using there? Were you using more – because that would be louder.
That would probably be backline, and I'm guessing, like, a twin.
A twin. Okay.
Yeah.
But that wasn't yours, that would be supplied, or was that?
Yeah, that's backline. They bring that for us. I toured with Chris. Yeah, we did some international stuff. We did a lot in Tokyo. And, you know, he's handling the guitar parts, you know. There really isn't room for a second guitar player. He's got two keyboards and sax, and he's playing all the guitar parts that you know. So I'm just sort of over there, you know, hey.
Oh, really? Because he does a lot of overdubs with, like, 12-string and, like, arpeggiated things, like sailing. There's a lot of that.
Right, and he's playing that. So the second guitar chair is there's just not a lot to do. But I just needed something loud and clean just to, you know, do the ambient stuff mm-hmm. like that. So a twin's always a good call for that.
Yeah. Let's play a clip. Okay. The first one I'm going to play is from Edwin McCain.
Okay.
Hold Out a Hand. You did all the instruments.
Yes.
And you mixed this.
Yes.
And it's a great mix.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
So I edited it. Now, there's a lot of vocal parts, but I kind of pulled together to kind of show the guitar parts.
Okay.
So there's a lot more singing in the song. But here, take a listen, and then we'll talk about what you did and how you approached it.
Okay.
Over 40 families got the news today. Classrooms full of kids called away. They will try to bear the doctor's words that no one wants to hear, while we search for something comforting to say. Cover
my Neil Sean moment.
No, but what's really cool about it in listening to it is the way the guitars play against each other. And there's these colors. I mean, you have the acoustic guitar, and then you have these little high parts on the – they're kind of clean.
Yeah.
And then you have a little bit of – you know, you have the lead at the end where you have the dirt, but there's other stuff back there. Some
right,
yeah. There's some more interesting stuff. So tell us, what did you use on that, and how did you approach that? That's an interesting arrangement.
Thank you. Wow. I think I approached it the way I approach everything, which is just, to me, an arrangement is like a play. And there's the good guy and the bad guy and the funny fat neighbor and the heroine and the British villain. And so everybody has their place on stage, and they need to move in and out and say their piece and then go away. I think for me, I usually decide what the acoustic guitar, if there is one, what's, you know, who's the hero? Mm-hmm. Who's going to be the good guy? Who's mm-hmm. the guy who's just always there? On something like this, the acoustic, he's your solid good buddy, and he's just going to be there. So everybody else has to sort of talk with him. You know, making a track for Edwin is kind of easy in that he's that huge voice. You know, you just put things around his voice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, ask me more questions. That's 'cause
there's a lot of space in there.
Oh,
and yeah. I mean, it's a very, first of all, the mix is killer.
Well, thank you.
But was it a difficult thing to mix, or was it
pretty? No,
because there's a lot of room in there, and you're, you know, you just accent, you know, this thing comes in. Well, I can hear that, and it's just really nice. But you know, the acoustic guitar isn't always there.
It lays out
a little bit.
It does, you know. But I don't have to tell you this because you're the same way. It's when you're sort of sitting in all chairs. You're planning ahead and looking backwards. Mm-hmm. And when I'm tracking something, I know, because I'm making the tracking, because I'm mixing it, well, I'm going to have a bubbly synth up here, and it's going to take all this air. So whatever I'm thinking now, it can't be up there, because that spot I've already, claimed mm-hmm. for the synth. And then I know there's going to be, Maya's going to put a ton of background vocals on this. So it's almost a luxury to be able to sit in all the chairs. Because it's like I'm not flying blind. I'm not just going to give them three guitar parts and hope they like them and will we ever hear them again, because I don't know what's coming next. And you are the same. All those tracks at the beginning of the show, that's you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're mixing, and so you're thinking the same way, I'm sure. Just this is, you've got the floor plan, and you know where we're going, and now you're the architect, the contractor, and the plumber.
Well, no, and it makes a difference. You can hear. And one of the things I've learned, and I've told this to Lori a bunch of times, because one of my teachers was, he had mentioned that as a guitar player, when you arrange, there is a uniqueness to the way you arrange, because the way you voice, because you're used to voicing on the guitar.
Of course.
And so, you know, like especially, now in this thing, it's basically guitars, but like when you do string arrangements, and you start voicing it like a guitar, it's a nice sound, but it's different than the typical arranger who's using a keyboard.
Right.
You know, and he's arranging by, you know, voicing from his keyboard. The voicings, especially inversions and stuff. And one of the things I've noticed, and we'll hear it in some of the other clips, is you do these nice little tinkly things up at top. And, you know, you have your guitar, your hero, as you say, playing, you know, and then you have these little things going on up and down and all around. And it that type of arranging, you're right. When you're putting it together, that's where you make space for it. So
yeah, and you know, I'm a guitar player first, so that's, you know, where my ear is going to go first.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the fun thing is, when I'm doing a track or coming up with a part, it when I know it's right is when I'm not being a guitar player,
mm-hmm.
and I'm playing. I don't know what that is. I've never played that before, and I'll probably never play it again. And if we wind up playing this live, I'll probably not remember to play that. But
mm-hmm.
in the track, it's wonderful. It'll hold that little decorative space. It'll be that little moment.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
for me, when I'm tracking, that's when I know it's right. It was when I stop thinking about it and I'm not a guitar player. I'm filling a space.
Right. Now, before I go, I want to play another clip of, I presume, was arranged by somebody else. I'm going to play the Art Garfunkel clip, Lena, in a second. But before I do that, your distorted guitar on that last clip, was that the amp cranked, or did you use a pedal?
That was I'm sure it was my Deluxe Reverb, and I'm guessing it was probably the Rockbox Boiling Point.
Oh, okay.
This is a pedal. I've got two of them. I've I keep going back and forth, and I never leave it. So pedals are like shoes for me. I'm always changing, mm-hmm. and they'll be the darling for a month, and then they're gone. And this one will go away for a month, and then it comes mm-hmm. back. And I'm always got it on my board sometimes.
Well, okay.
You know, I mean, it's on a board somewhere.
But I was thinking in a studio, you might be more have the urge to just crank up the amp and...
In my home studio, there's only so much cranking that can happen. So it's a pretty, I'm hoping to change that over the next year, but right now it's a pretty mellow.
Oh, okay. So you don't have that. You don't have that option.
I get it. Yeah, and it's, you know, they're my ears at the end of the day, and I don't want to lose them to my plane or anyone else's.
But, okay, let me play this clip, and this is what you did for Art Garfunkel.
Right.
This is Lena, and it's fully orchestrated. I don't know who, did you do the arrangement, or did somebody else do this one?
I came up with the acoustic part. I did the first solo. It was tracked live, and I know Maya and Art did some overdubs, but right now I'm not remembering what they did. But we tracked the basics live, so I was on the...
Because there's strings in here, too, and there's
okay,
a bunch
then
of stuff.
Yeah.
But this is an edit, and I'm cutting out some of Art's singing, but you'll hear the lead, your lead that you did.
Okay.
So let me play. This is Lena. Sound now.
Wow!
Tell me about the guitars you're using there. The
okay.
acoustic guitars.
So I'm on acoustic on this, and Dean Parks is the electric part you just heard. So it's my session with Art Garfunkel. So I'm gonna bring it, right? So I call every acoustic manufacturer, Martin, Fender, everybody, send me guitars because I want him to have whatever he wants. I want a room full of acoustics, and if I sense that he's not happy with the sound or whatever, I want to change. So there I am with a room full of acoustics. I know I'm gonna be the acoustic player on this session, so I'm no amps, no electrics. Martin's come through. They've sent me like four or five beautiful guitars.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've just got a room full of acoustics, and no. So the acoustic guitar you're hearing on that is Maya's. I think it costs like $100. It's a Japanese guitar. I think it's called like Aria or Aria.
Aria, okay.
Oh, you know it, okay. Very light wood, and then the interesting thing is it has a brass nut and brass saddle.
Oh, wow.
And so we track with it all the time. It's horrible. It doesn't matter how many times Norik sets it up. It's just completely out of tune at all times. But it makes that sound. And so I just tuned it down for this song, and I was just, those three notes are just going to ring.
And I mean, he loved it.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, this is so great. And look at all the guitars I have to return.
Oh, that's great. Well, you know, sometimes, yeah, I've seen people come in with guitars that just were like nothing, and they sound great.
That one, that day, that
you
mic,
definitely
that
got
guitar.
A sound out of that guitar.
It's something, and we track with it a lot.
I love that, and it's tuned down, right?
Yeah, tuned down a whole step.
Oh wow!
So I'll, you know, you just play those low three notes, and it just rings forever, and you don't have to, and it's acoustic, so it just holds that nice tight place, and it leaves the feather and the bloom for everything else.
Right. Now, did you, when you tracked, did you track with Dean at the same time?
Yeah, we tracked that.
So he, you had, you guys were interacting,
yeah.
So to speak.
So it was Dean, myself, Lee Sklar, mm-hmm. Russ Kunkel, and we did basics together on that and one other tune. So it was a really lovely project. So it was off his album, The Singer, mm-hmm. which was a compilation, and Art shows the songs, and these were the two new inclusions.
Now, the... what about the lead? What did you do there?
Oh, that's fun. Okay, so, you know, I play guitar because of Art Garfunkel and Simon. Yeah, Simon and Garfunkel. That was my first album. You know, my parents gave it to me, and I had the suitcase record player that, you have to flip the little needle from 45, and, right? And it's got the little built-in speaker, and you carry it around the house, right? And that was my first record. And so I'm deliriously thrilled not to just be playing, oh, look at these session cats. Yeah, whatever. I'm playing with Art Garfunkel. This is so awesome. And so he's very particular. He's extremely educated. He has a wonderful vocabulary. And you find yourself taking a little more time around him and thinking about, is that really the word you want to use? And just being a little more careful. And he's so precise. And so he directed that guitar solo like you would probably direct an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this whole story how Lena's just, you know, she's going to burst into the bar and she's full of bravado and she's just full of herself and it's all an illusion and she's going to get into the bar and then the booze blues are going to kick in and she's going to just sort of fall over and come apart at the end. And that's what he wanted the solo to be.
Oh, wow.
I
love
it.
That's interesting. Yeah, yeah.
I know. And I mean, think about it. How many times have you, you know, the clients been guiding, can you do more purple? But wouldn't you rather have, like, a story that you can sort of, well, I know what that sounds like. I know what that's going to look like. So I tried to just play that, what he just told me.
That is cool.
It is.
I mean, I've had that experience where, like, you know, make it sound more orangey or something
right.
like that. But to have a whole backstory to
he
your lead,
whole...
that's you just don't hear about that.
And it was great. I'm sitting there going, I can do that. That's awesome.
Well, no, it just the blend of all that and your interaction with Dean was just great.
Oh, thank you.
Because it complements each other.
Yeah, thank you. That
so.
Was a fun couple days, I have to say.
Now, before we go into, I want to go into Maya Sharp's material.
Yeah.
But before we do that, let's go and talk real quick about your pedal board.
There is no real quick about pedals. This will take weeks. Sure, what do you want to know?
Just if you can tell me how you have it laid out, your signal path.
Okay, so because I have so many true bypass pedals, I'm starting with a buffer. So it's hidden under the compressor here, but it's Brad Sarno's steel guitar black box. He designed this. He's a steel player. It's a tube buffer, and he designed this for himself, and then guitar players got a hold of it, and we stole it. So it's got a tuner out and a variable impedance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm exactly the kind of person who will plug all of this in,
mm-hmm.
and to check it, will unplug all of this and then run direct in the amp and see if it's right. And it's perfect. It's wonderful. So I actually do travel with that huge black box on the ground there. So signal starts there, goes into the looper. I keep the tuner out of the loop. I keep the phase out of the loop, and I keep the wah-wah out of the path. So they're mm-hmm. all on a bypass looper. I always leave myself a little extra goes into and goes out of, because at a session you're always going to reach for something, and the last thing I want to do is put like a fuzz after a delay. So there's always a place here I can just insert it. Let's see. So from the buffer there, go into Brad's Earth Drive on this board, which is, you know, just maybe hit you a little hard there.
Mm-hmm.
just sort of warm up, give you a little bit of that grit.
And you keep changing overdrives as you...
Like socks. It's awful. So I can't have anybody make my pedal board. I have to do it because I'm just going to rip it up tomorrow anyway. The Wessex is... I'm overdriving my headphones. Are we okay for you?
You're good. You're good. But that's an overdrive? That's
yeah,
just...
it's a low gain. And you can hear... I'm about halfway up on it. So clean. It stacks really well with the Earth Drive, but it's just low gain, so it's like almost just a little hairy, just a little low gain, and it goes into the rock box. Rock box boiling point. This is quite a pedal. It will. So I would call that a high gain overdrive. It doesn't quite get into distortion, but it can be very smooth and, you know, get my Neil Sean on. From there into a Vertex Boost, and I really am not using the boost function of it very much. I'm using it just to keep the volume pedal out of the pass, so it's just on using that from the expression. Mm-hmm. So volume is now also out of the run.
Mm-hmm.
From there into the tremulator, is it Demeter? Demeter? I've met him, and I can't even remember. This is the best. If you want trim, this is the guy to go to.
Oh, you don't have one? There isn't one on the Fender?
Nope.
Oh.
And not on this model. And so what's nice about this is not just the sound. On this particular model, he's got two channels of it, so you can set two different speeds and stuff.
It sounds nice. Does the tremulator get? There's two types of Fender tremolos. There was one or vibratos. The blackface ones shared a tube with the reverb tube, and then if you've ever played one of those old cream Fender amps with it had its own little separate circuit, and it's a different sound. It kind of warbles a little bit. Does that get both of them?
No, I think it's just the first one you described. Mm-hmm. The...
sounds good. I mean, it sounds.
Yeah. Very sweet. Very amp.
Yeah.
And then if you you can actually use it as a boost. He's got it. If you just take off the speed and the depth, you can actually just use it as a volume boost if you wanted to. So out of that into my new favorite, the Strymon Timeline, and I don't know why I waited so long on this thing. I think my analog snobbery kicked my butt for a long time, and I just could not bring myself to get a Strymon digital thing. Digital. And I'm glad in my old age, I'm getting more flexible.
No, the Strymon stuff's great.
It's amazing. And you know that pedal I told you I didn't buy, but I did? Yeah. It's their Big Sky.
Their Big Sky.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you have the El Capitan.
The El Capitan, exactly. So I bought that. That was my first Strymon, and that's just a little tape slap for us there, you know?
Thank you. to use it for a slap.
Yeah, and also sometimes, clean rhythm, you can get away with a lot more on your leads and have a lot more delay bubbling underneath it, but for your clean rhythm, you want that kind of...
Well, it's interesting because that pedal has that, like, you can make yeah. it warble like the old Echoplexes.
That's right.
I mean, I had mine always warble, but it was part of the sound.
It was part of the sound. And a couple of them got the phase...
And that's an old one, right?
That's actually a new one, designed to look like an old one. Pretty nice for a little box, right?
Yeah. And which model wah is that? It's a Crybaby, but what?
Yeah, it's Sam McRae. Modified this somewhat to change. I think what he told me was the Q is a little different, so it's just kind of sweeping in a little different range. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that taper is nice. The way the pedal tapers. That's nice.
Very sweet, right?
Yeah.
It kind of stays out of the that needle, that ice pick that
right,
that wah can hit.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's really the filter, the way he has it adjusted, it's just, it's really sweet. But
yeah.
The problem now with when you I have, when you've had the old wahs, trying to get the pot to get the right taper,
because yeah.
they changed them, but that's really smooth, and it has a nice overall.
Yeah,
that's very, very cool. Okay, now let's go to the album that you co-produced with Maya.
Okay.
And that's called The Dash Between
yeah,
the Dates.
That's your last one.
Interesting. Let's play that clip, and then let's talk a little bit about the whole doing that album and doing all that stuff. Here's Dash Between the Dates.
Everybody's got a number. Mine is 1971. Before there's another, there's a groove of doing to be done. Is it a scratch on the surface, or deep enough to catch some rain? I'm nervous. There'll be no glory train shuttling up to pearly gates. What you do with a dash between the days? Slow it up, my darling. Lay your brake foot down. You're so afraid to fall behind, but you're gonna look back from the end of the line where the other number waits, babe, and see a beautiful girl just in a troubled sky. A Goliath, a David, the guy behind the guy, and friends who flew to Walter's States. When they drew their dash between the days, slow it up, my darling.
That's some great guitar playing, and I love the layers. Again, you're just doing all these little colors.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
It's, I think, one of the first ones we started working on off that her last album, and we were just trying to sort of inject a little different thing into what she's always done. She's always done a very live band tracking, and mm-hmm. that's great. It's a sonic signature, but it does, it forces your hand in a certain way, you mm-hmm. know? And certain songs want that. They just want, put the band in the room, turn on the mics, that's it, and that's where we're going. I, for all of Maya's influences and for what I know she loves and who she's listening to, I just felt like we could, you know, experiment. And not everything had to be, you know, an acoustic guitar or organic. We could use loops. We could use instruments that sound organic, but you don't know what they are. And so where this started for me, well, first when she played the song, I was like, this is a huge song. You just made a 3-minute song about life.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty intense. Mm-hmm. And bold. So let's go bold. And I came in with some loops that you can sort of hear them percolating. There's always, I just wanted the solid part. So the, what's that? You know, that can be just right there on mm-hmm. the side. That's going to hold its space. It gives you the feel. You know, it is sort of...
It's a great groove. I mean,
yeah, it's like a little swung, but it's still, you know...
And then you get that real low thump from the kick drum, and yeah. It's just perfect.
Yeah, and so that pretty much, that's how that started. I think she may... I may be taking credit for something that isn't mine. She may have, in her song demo, had something similar to this pattern on acoustic.
Now, so, are you doing all the guitars, or did she play anything?
She played... Do you hear the little... there's a little double stop part in there. That's her, mm-hmm. and the rest is me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then did you play bass on it?
No, that's Jimmy Earle and Maria Martinez on drums.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's great. No, I mean, it's really interesting how you play the guitars against each other. Now, let me ask you this, because you play live with her a lot.
Yeah.
How do you do that live?
Oh, that one, that's tough. A lot on her vocals. Everybody's got an number. You can hear it's going to hold up. This song.
Is she playing more now?
She's playing acoustic guitar. When we do our duet thing, she's on acoustic, and then I'm on electric. We used to do a bigger show, we'd travel with a keyboard. She'd go over the keyboard and play. She still brings her sax, mm-hmm. and I'll do some solos. I'd be switching back and forth between acoustic and electric all night, and I think we just got tired of carrying so much stuff around, so now we're keeping it pretty pared down. She's on acoustic, I'm on electric. What we did at Lori's El Rey show, if there's something I'm on acoustic for, I just take it from her. She'd just sing. I'll get it.
Yeah, I see.
And just sing. I'll play the acoustic part, and, you know.
No, I mean, it's a great little mood. I mean, the way the song. Now, we're almost out of time, but I want to play, because we're going to do something here a little different.
Okay.
I'm going to play a clip, another clip from the album called Phoenix. Mm. And then at the end of the show, you're going to play a little variation of that. So I'm going to play this piece. Again, you're doing all the instruments, and you're mixing this, and it's a great, and I edited together. I cut out to show the guitar part, so you're missing a lot of amazing vocals from Maya. So
yeah, she's singing. And
this album's great.
Thank you. Can I play with the track, or are you going to just put me by myself?
I'm going to have you play by yourself when you go out.
But oh, my. Okay.
Let's play this track, and you can tell us a little more about what you're doing and break it down. Here's Phoenix.
Thank you.
There you are, noodling her at the end, but it which is great. I had muted her, but she was actually playing to the track. But it's really cool. You got the two little, yeah. You got the two acoustic guitars, and you got these little tinkly things going on, and then you have the volume pedals. There's a lot of interesting things about that. How did you approach that? I mean, how did you build that?
That one was fun, and we tortured that poor song. We just tried more things on that, and no song should go through what we put that one through. And finally, Maya and I were just very frustrated with each other, and she goes, and I'm asking her, you know, Maya, if you're playing this at the Bluebird, if you're just doing a round, show me what you're playing on acoustic, you know? And she goes, well, how about just like a line? And I was like, that's it. The melody is so fluid that the line, the chords, nothing has to move. We can just keep that real. You know, I don't have my timer right here. And I can just sit there, right, with acoustic, and then just leave all the space. And then it's the crowning glory. It's Maya and Arno McCullough singing, and they're just floating through it, and they're taking up all the space, and the instruments just hold this very specific ostinato. It's almost like you don't want the instruments to interrupt.
Right. Now, like you have two guitars doing that ostinato, and did you do those?
Yeah.
And which guitars?
Oh,
is that the Gibson?
That's my Gibson, my 67 Gibson, and then the Taylor 910.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you did.
Mixed them up.
You mixed them up. And then you have these little cool little guitar riffs that are going around.
Yeah, a little 335. Mm-hmm. And just, you know. You know, that kind of. And then a couple little piano tinkles, and I didn't need full piano, so, you know, I don't play piano. I will play you a part, but if I need the connective tissue and an actual piano player, then I got to call Ed Roth or one of my buddies. But this one just fell into place. Once I found the line on acoustic, then everything else can just be a little moment on stage, and they're just really the supporting cast. And I didn't need my hero in this one because the vocal is the hero.
Right, right. So, but that the guitar ostinato thing is just that. So again, it's another one of those good example of less is more. You're doing sparse little things, but there's a lot of them, and they make it interesting. I mean, it's a simple line. It's not a lot of notes. It's just a very simple thing, and then the little things that you accent with the electric guitar are amazing.
Well, thank you.
So I think that kind of show, I mean, that type of arrangement, it just gives it a lot of air.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're already over out of time. I told you we'd go by fast, and we just scratched the surface, so it just means you have to come back.
Sounds great.
I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. This is amazing. I love this. I love talking this about recording and stuff. And you can check out more about Linda at www.lindataylormusic.com and check out these albums. There's the single that I played from Edwin McCain, Hold Out a Hand, but Maya's album, The Dash Between the Dates, is really cool. And you've done other albums with her, too.
Yeah.
But this one's really, really nice. And then Art Garfunkel, the singer, she's on that. And, check all this stuff out. It's really, really great. And we're going to leave everybody. Thank you, Lori, for putting us together. Thank you so much. And thank you to Ronan for coming down. And we're going to let her do a little variation of Phoenix, and that'll take us out for tonight. So everybody, have a great week, and we will see you next week.